And we've been doing a series on faith in action. And we're just going to finish tonight, this last lesson in our faith in action series. James chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and has not works or does not have an action, can faith save him?" So he asks this question here, what does it profit if someone says that they have faith, but there's no action that goes with it? He says, can such faith save him? And you know, we talked about the whole idea, the whole concept of people where, you know, there's a whole lot of people say they believe in God, they say they believe that Jesus Christ loves them, that Jesus Christ died on the cross, but if they don't take that step of faith, then can that faith save them? And the answer is no. We read from the NCV version, it says, "My brothers and sisters, if people say they have faith but do nothing, their faith is worth nothing. Can faith like that save them?" And he says here that faith that does nothing is worth nothing. Faith that does nothing is worth nothing. What use is it? What value is it to say that you have faith? You know, you have faith to move mountains, but unless you actually go and move some mountains, what use is it? Do you understand? So there has to be a corresponding action. Verse 15, it says, "A brother or a sister in Christ might need clothes or food. And if you say to that person, 'God be with you, I hope you stay warm and get plenty to eat,' but do not give that person what they need, your words are worth nothing." So if you meet somebody and they're destitute basically and no food and no clothes and so on, and you just pray a blessing, or I just pray that God will bless you, he says your words are worth nothing unless you actually do something about it. And then in verse 17 it says, in the same way, he's just given us an example of the whole spectrum of faith here. In the same way, faith by itself that does nothing is dead. Faith by itself that does nothing is dead. And what do you know about something that's dead? Well, something that's dead, it doesn't produce any fruit, does it? It's got no life and it doesn't produce fruit. And he says, faith that does nothing is worth nothing, or faith that does nothing is actually dead. And dead things don't produce fruit, and they don't produce life, and they can't produce life. They can't produce results. So it has to be a living, active faith. Verse 18, someone might say, "You have faith, but I have deeds." In other words, making the comparison. Well, you have faith, but I have deeds. And he says, show me your faith without doing anything, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You show me your faith without doing anything, and I will show you my faith by what I do. And the implied thing here is, there's a lot of people say they have faith. You know, and people often say things, well, you know, my faith's private, that's between me and God. And we went through all the scriptures and we talked about people who have faith, they always have a corresponding action. Yes, it might be private and it might be between you and God, but whenever you see somebody with faith, you see an action that goes with it that proves that they have faith. And he says, you know, you say that you have faith, but I have works. Show me your faith without doing anything and I will show you my faith by what I do. In other words, if you really, truly have faith, you will take a step of faith, you will actually do something. Amen. Verse 19 says, you believe there is one God. Good. See, a lot of people believe there's one God. He says, you believe there is one God. Good. But the demons believe that too. And they tremble with fear. And we talked last week or the week before, we talked about demon belief. Many of you know that the demons believe in God. Every one of them, not one unbelieving demon, you know that? Every single one of them believe in God. Every single one of them. Do you think there's even one demon that's not sure? Just not sure if there's a God or not? No, of course they do. They know there's a God. And he says, even the demons believe. Do you know that they believe? But you know what? They're not putting their faith in God, are they? And you see, the implied thing that he's saying here is, if we say that we have faith, but we don't have a corresponding action, how is our faith any different than theirs? How is it any different? They believe there's a God. In actual fact, they know there's a God. They've seen him. They've met him. But they don't put any faith in him. But if we say that we believe in God and we don't have a corresponding action, what makes ours any different than theirs? And so we don't want to be known as having a demon level of faith, do we? We want to go to a higher level. We want to have real faith. Real faith, amen. No atheist demons. Verse 20, you foolish person, must you be shown that faith that does nothing is worth nothing? And he says it here again, faith that does nothing is worth nothing. Faith that does nothing is worth nothing. If you're not going to put any action to it, then what value is it? What's the point in having faith? Faith that does nothing. So is there a faith that does nothing? We need to go beyond just saying that we have faith. We need to go beyond just saying that we believe. We need to go beyond believing, because there's not nearly as many results as we should be having. We should be having more results. And one of the reasons why we don't have more results is because we don't understand how faith works. We don't understand that when we have faith, we're actually supposed to put actions to it. We're supposed to do something. And if you believe God is going to bless you, then you step out. If you believe that God's going to bless your business, you step out. If you believe that God's going to do things for you, you've got to take that step of faith. And it's always a step of faith. There are more people talking about believing, but without results. But what we actually need is results, isn't it? Anybody? We need results, don't we? We need results. You know, God didn't give us something that's broken. He gave us faith. And he wants us to put that faith into action, amen. A lot of times, actually, when we say that we're believing God and we don't see results, who gets the blame? God. Blame God. A lot of times we say we're believing for something and we don't get results. What we do is we blame God. It's all God's fault. God didn't do it. God didn't want to bless me. God didn't want to give me this. And in actual fact, what we might find and see is that we were believing, but there was no corresponding action. We didn't take that step of faith. We didn't step out and believe God. God's word works. It never fails. Maybe what we're calling believing isn't actually believing at all. Because he says here, faith that does nothing is worth nothing. Amen. Down in verse 26, he says, just as a person's body that does not have a spirit is dead. Now we all know that concept. That when somebody dies, what happens is their spirit leaves their body, isn't it? And their spirit part of them, their spirit is actually what animates the body, makes the body move. And the fact that we're all moving tonight is because we have a spirit on the inside of us. But as soon as you die, the spirit is gone. And as soon as that spirit is gone, do you know what happens? Rigor mortis sets in. And your body is lifeless. And your body can't move anymore. And he makes the analogy here. And he says, just as the body without the spirit is dead, he says, so faith without action is dead. That's a very sobering thought, isn't it? Faith without action is dead. Faith that does nothing is worth nothing. It's dead. Doesn't produce fruit. Doesn't produce life. Doesn't produce the miracle power of God. Faith that does nothing is worth nothing. Look with me in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Just back a few pages. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 35. He says, cast not therefore away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience. You have need of patience. You have need of patience. You know why we need patience? We need patience to hold on to the word of God. We need patience to hold on to the promise of God. But watch what he says. You have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. See, what he's telling us here is we need to hold on patiently and do the will of God, and that's when we receive the promise. You see, what happens is we're actually looking for God to give us something without us doing anything. And that's not how it works. Faith without action is dead. When are you going to receive and see the manifested promise of God? He says, when you have done the word of God. When you have done the will of God. After you have done what he has told you to do in his word. Remember the story with Jesus at the wedding of Cana? And his mother came to him and said, they have no wine. And he says, what's that got to do with me? But then she went to the stewards, to the guys who were serving, and she says to them, whatever he says to do, do it. Whatever he says to do, do it. And what she was actually telling us here was how to have a miracle. What she was telling us was how to have a breakthrough. What she was telling us is if we want to see the miracle power of God in our life, we have to do what he says. We have to do what he says. After you have done the will of God, you will receive the promise. That's what he says in Hebrews 10. So, can you imagine these guys here? Mary says to them, whatever he says to you, do it. And so they're all there and they're believing on a move of God. Lord, we're believing. Lord, we know that you're the God of abundance. Lord, we know that you supply all our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, we know that we will never fail. And so, Lord, we're here. We're believing you for this wine, for this wedding, because these people, they're going to be embarrassed, Lord, if they don't have wine. We're standing, we're believing. And Father, we know you can do it. And Jesus says, go and fill the water pots. Yeah, we'll do it another time, because right now we're believing. We're just believing. We're just going to stand here. We're not going to move until we see the manifestation. No, go and fill the water pots another time. Right now, we're just believing. We're just confessing the word. We're just believing that God's going to manifest. Come on, God. We're just believing you for the power. How long would it have took them to get the wine? How long would it have took them? They never would have got it. Because what she said was, whatever he says to you to do, do it. And you can stand there and you can confess and you can believe and you can stand on the word and you can shout and you can pray all you want. But that's not what he said. He said, whatever he says, do it. And so Jesus said, go and fill the water pots. And as soon as they went and filled the water pots, they turned into wine and they had their miracle. Faith has to have a corresponding action, because if it doesn't have a corresponding action, it never would have happened. So there's no point in waiting for a miracle, waiting for God to move. We have to do our part. Amen. We're not going to experience the power until we do what he has told us to do. But when we do it, that's when the power is released. Amen. We talked about this a number of weeks ago when we talked about, the children of Israel coming through the wilderness and heading for the Red Sea. And this is amazing, because Moses said something. And I see it all over the place. I see plaques. I see pictures all over the place with this phrase on it. And God actually rebuked Moses for saying it. And yet Christians have it all over the place. Moses said to the children of Israel, stand still and see the salvation of God. And then God said to him, what are you standing here for? Didn't I tell you to go forward? And everybody has this verse. I see loads and loads of people with this verse up. Stand still and see the salvation of God. But God rebuked Moses for saying that. He didn't tell you to stand still. He said, I told you to go forward. And so they went forward. And you know what happened? As soon as they went forward, as soon as their foot touched the Red Sea, you know what happened? The Red Sea opened. But here's the thing. God said to them, don't stand still. He says, go forward. What would have happened if they said, no, we're not going forward, God. We're going to stand here. We're going to believe you for a miracle. Father, we're confessing right now in the name of Jesus that we're going to see our breakthrough, that we're going to be overcomers, that them Egyptians that are coming after us, Father, you're going to wipe them out. We're just believing for that right now. What would have happened? The Egyptians would have wiped them out, wouldn't they? But God said to them, don't stand here. He says, go forward. And when they went forward, as soon as the sole of their foot touched the Red Sea parted and opened. And they went across on dry ground. But you know when they experienced their miracle was when they'd done the word of God. When they'd done what God said. Jesus one day, he met a man with a withered hand. This guy had had a withered hand for a long period of time. And Jesus said to him one day, stretch forth your hand. And as soon as he stretched forth his hand was healed. See, again, he didn't say, no, I'm just going to wait here. I'm going to believe God for a miracle. I'm just going to wait for God to do something. I'm just confessing that this withered hand is going to come back to life. No, as soon as he stretched forth his hand was healed. The word of God came, stretch forth your hand, but the miracle only came when he did what he was told. And we went through all the scriptures and we talked about all the different people and all the things that they did and how when they took that step of faith, when they had a faith with a corresponding action, that's when the miracle power of God was released. Was it a coincidence that as soon as their foot touched the Red Sea, that it opened. No, it wasn't. It wasn't a coincidence. What happened was the miracle power of God was released. They did what the Word of God says. Was it a miracle or was it a coincidence that when this guy, just as soon as he stretched forth his hand, was it a coincidence that that's when he was healed? No. What happened was Jesus told him to do something. When he did what he was told to do, the miracle power of God was released, and that's when he got his healing. And so we come to the Word of God. And there are things in the Word of God that God has already set in motion for us. He has given us His Word. He has given us His promises. And sometimes we sit there and we confess the Word of God. And we're praying and we're believing. And we're, come on, God, I need a miracle. And God is saying, no, take a step of faith. Because it's when you take the step of faith, that's when the miracle power of God is released. And so we need to take that step of faith. And so God sets laws in motion. He sets laws in motion over the universe. He set laws in motion over the planet. And you know, we don't have to talk God into blessing us. God has already released the blessing. And you see, this is the place where people miss it. Because they think what's happening is we need to talk God into blessing us. And the reality of it is we don't have to talk God into blessing us. God has already put laws in motion. And when we get involved in the laws that God has put in place, and one of them is called the law of faith, and we look at that in a moment. But when God puts these things into motion, all we need to do is access them. And when we access them, that's when we see the power of God. Principles already there. God is a big God. And He's dealing with billions of people. Over 7 billion people on the planet. And you know, whenever somebody cries out to God to get saved, do you think that God has gone, how long is a queue? I'm dealing with this one over here, I'll get to you in a minute. Do you think that there's a queue? Do you think that, you know, if there's 100,000 people calling out to God right now, God's going, take a ticket. I'll get to you when I get there. No. Do you know why? Because God has already set the plan of salvation in motion. And the plan of salvation is, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And God has already set that in motion. And as soon as we do that, as soon as we believe in our heart, as soon as we confess with our mouth, we're saved. God didn't have to make an executive decision whether He was going to save us or not. Do you understand? Because that law is already set in motion. God is not making individual choices about different people. When somebody confesses, God is not sitting there, hold on, give me a minute, let me think about this. He has set the law in motion. The law is already there. And when we access that law, when somebody confesses with their mouth and believes in their heart, they're saved, and God didn't even get involved in it in the sense of making a decision whether it's going to happen or not. Because the law is already set in place. We think about the law of gravity. The law of gravity has already been set in motion. Like if you jump off the house, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going down. Do you ever go up? Do you ever go sideways? What way do you go? What about if you're old? Does it work different if you're old? What about if you're young? What about if you're black? Or if you're white? What about if you're sick? The law is set in motion. The law is set in motion. The law of gravity. And you know, the law of gravity never changes. There's never a day where it's stronger than it was yesterday. It's a law. It's set in motion. And the laws of gravity are set in motion. And all we have to do is access that law. And when you access that law by falling off something or jumping off something, you are going down. You never go sideways. You never go up. You always go down because that's a law that God has set in place. It doesn't matter if you're rich or if you're poor, if you're old or if you're young. It's a law that God has set in place and it works all the time. Gravity works for everybody, everywhere, all the time. And you know, faith is also called a law. Faith is also called a law, the law of faith. And when we act in faith, believing, it's like when you jump off the building. When you act in faith, there's a manifestation of something. Because God has already set the law in motion. And you see, we need to get away from this idea that when we're asking God for something, that God is going to make an executive decision whether He's going to give us what we're believing for or not. God has already set His law in motion. And the law that he has set in motion is faith must have a corresponding action. When there's a corresponding action, there will be a release of something, and we will get what we're believing for. That's the law that God has set in motion. Amen. And we said, when someone believes in their heart and confesses with their mouth, they're saved. They don't have to wait on God to save them. It was already in place. They just had to activate it. The Spirit of God also is in the earth. And the Word of God is released into the earth. And it will accomplish everything God sent it to do. One of the things that we need to learn is the principles of faith. And faith that does nothing is not the God kind of faith. Faith that does nothing is not the God kind of faith. In order to see the results of the laws that God has put in motion, we have to act in faith. Faith must have a corresponding action. And we talked about, I'll share this with you on Wednesday. You know, if you're standing on the roof of a burning building, and the firemen are down the bottom, and they've got this big safety net that they hold, you know, for people when they jump off a building. So these firemen are there. And there's two of you up on the building. And the fireman shouts, jump. And you go, I'll go first. And you jump. And you land in the net. And then the other person is standing up there and going, boy, that looks like an expensive net. I say it's strong. I say it would hold me all right. And I can see from here that you guys are all muscular. You must have been working out. Well, come on ahead and jump. No, I'm not jumping. I know you're strong. I know the net's strong, but I'm not jumping. Which one of them would you say had faith? The one who jumped. He believed that they were able to catch them. He believed that the net was strong enough. He believed that the boys had worked out, but then he acted on it and he jumped into the net. But you know, the other person who's still up on the roof, you can't say that he had faith because there was no corresponding action that went with it. If he really believed that they were able to save him, he would have jumped. Amen. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 6. It says, without faith, it is impossible to believe him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. It says, without faith, it is impossible. You know, that's a really, really strong statement. How many of you know that's a strong statement? Without faith, it is impossible. Impossible means there's no way. There's no way you can please him in anything that you're doing without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's not hard. It's not difficult. It's impossible. Impossible means it's not possible. Amen. So faithless prayer doesn't please God. Confessing the word without faith doesn't please God. Giving an offering, despite how big it is, without faith doesn't impress God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He who cometh to God must believe that he is. You know, people who are not sure whether God exists or not can please God. Because he says here, he who cometh to him must believe that he is. How can you please God if you don't even know he exists? If you're not sure whether he exists or not? You have to know that God exists. You have to have that settled first. That God is real. That he is all-knowing, that he is all-powerful. Our great God who created the universe. Now the demons believe that. See, you must believe that he is, that he exists. We know, how many of you know the demons believe that? We talked about that already, didn't we? They believe that he exists and they tremble. And they have good reason to tremble. And the reason why they tremble is because they actually know that he exists. And they know that their future is sealed. But he who comes to him must believe that he is. That's only demon level faith. What more must we do? We must believe that he is the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. He is the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And you know, the key here is the word seek. The word seek. People who know that God is, people who believe that God is, diligently seek him. And I don't know what it is for you, but I know when I got saved first, I started to understand a bit more about God. People started to explain things to me about God. But you know what I did? I began to seek after God with all my heart. Began to pursue him, to seek for him meticulously until I found him. Amen. Seek him meticulously. Seek him persistently. Seek him continuously. To look for him, to pursue him. And you see, we must believe firstly that he is. And then we need to seek him, we need to pursue him. And let me just say this to you, if you don't believe that he is, you won't pursue him anyway, will you? How will you pursue him if you don't even believe that he is? And there's millions of people out there like that, billions of people. I don't even know if there's a God. Well, that's why you're not seeking him, because you don't know. Amen. One of the biggest problems in the earth is that millions of people refuse to seek him. Look back with me. Keep your finger there. We'll go back there in a few minutes. But look with me in Psalm 14. Let me just read a verse of scripture to you here. Psalm 14. This is a real strong word here in Psalm 14. In verse 1. It says, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men. Now watch what he did. He looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. The Lord looked down from heaven to see, was there any who did understand? Was there any who believed that God is, and was there any who would seek him? And seeking him is the key. We've got to seek God. We've got to pursue God. If people are really going to believe that there is a God, if people really believe there's going to be a God, what are they going to do next? They're going to do whatever they can to seek him and to find him, to find out who he is, to find out what he is, to find out what his plan and his purpose is for our life. If you truly believe that God is, you will seek him. Amen. You don't seek for something unless you believe, firstly, that it's there. Many people go looking for something that doesn't exist. You don't look for something unless you believe, firstly, that it's there. And you don't go looking for something unless you believe that you can find it. Unless you believe that you can find it. Those who come to him must believe that he is. And that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We're talking here about faith in action. Faith that does nothing is worth nothing. And you see, one of the biggest problems is so many people are passive when it comes to faith. They're passive. They have this kind of que sera, sera attitude. And we talked about last week, you know, people have this thing, well, if it's for me, it'll not pass me. Well, that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says that you will get it if you seek for it with all your heart. And too many people are passive about faith. And what I mean by passive about faith is we want to sit there and do nothing and let God do all the work. But the reality of it is God has done all the work that he's ever going to do. That's why Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. It's all done. All the laws are set in motion. What our part now is we have to access those laws. How do we access them? Believe in our heart that God, confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And straight away we enter into it. So we enter into a life of faith. But then everything after that is accessed by faith. People are passive when it comes to faith. Not making any effort to exercise faith. Saying that we believe, but our belief doesn't have a corresponding action. It doesn't have any action that goes with it. And if we believe something is true, what we will do is we will act on it. Amen. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Jesus said, ask, and it will be given unto you. But the next phrase he says, seek, and you will find. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto us. Jesus told us to look for it. He says, seek it, and you will find it. Seek it, and you will find it. Well, based on that, if he says, seek it, and you will find it, if you don't look for it, will you find it? He says if you seek, you will find it. In other words, if you don't seek, what? You won't find it. See, we talk about this expression sometimes that all the blessings of God and all the promises of God are laid up for us. The blessings of God, the promises of God, they're all laid up for us. God has them. He tells us over and over and over again in the scriptures that all the promises of God are yes and amen. He tells us that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. All things pertaining to life and godliness are ours in abundance. He tells us these things. But you know what we're supposed to do? Seek them. We're supposed to go after them. We're supposed to pursue them. We're supposed to access them by faith and believe God that they are true. So they're set up for, or laid up for us. But God has set it up in such a way that if you don't believe, if you don't seek for it, you can't access it. Go back with me to Hebrews 11 for a minute. Hebrews 11. And verse 5. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated. In other words, he was raptured. That he should not see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch was raptured. A man out of his time. He was raptured. He was taken to heaven. Back in Genesis chapter 5, Enoch was raptured. And the scripture says that the reason he was raptured, because he had this testimony that he pleased God. We know from verse 6 what faith includes. What does it include? What does it include? The first thing is, you have to believe that God is. Now when you go back to the beginning, back to Genesis chapter 5, and many of you know and understand, nobody back there had a Bible. Many of you understand that principle. The Bible wasn't written until much, much, much later. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. And Moses was some 2,000 years after this. So Enoch didn't even have a Bible. But you know, he walked with God by faith. And the first thing that we see here, it says that by faith Enoch walked with God. And what are the two requirements of faith? Well, the first requirement is you must believe that God is. And Enoch believed that God is. And Enoch believed that he was a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And you know what Enoch did? He started to seek God. Now, Enoch was 65 years old when he began to seek God. And the scripture says he walked with God for 300 years. And back then there were long lifestyles or long lifetimes. But Enoch's wasn't that long actually. It was only about a third of some of the rest of them. But he walked with God for 300 years. And as he walked with God, he got closer to God. And he got closer to God. And he got closer to God. And there was times of intimate fellowship because he believed that God is. And he believed that God rewards those who diligently seek him. And he began to seek after God and seek after God. And one day God says, you know what, why don't you just come up here with me? And so he left. He was raptured. He was taken straight to heaven. Didn't even have a Bible. Didn't have the promises of God like we do. So what do we know about Enoch without knowing anything else about him? Well, we know firstly that he had faith. We know that he was fully persuaded that God is. And he was fully persuaded that God rewards those who diligently seek him. And we know that he sought after God. How did he do it? It says, by faith, Enoch walked with God. He didn't even have a Bible to read. And yet he believed that God is real. We know that he mustn't have had a dead faith. Because a dead faith is what? Faith that does nothing is worth nothing. And we know that Enoch didn't have a dead faith. How do we know? Well, firstly, because he walked with God. And secondly, God translated him, raptured him, took him to heaven. Amen. God became more and more real to him until one day he just took him away. It says, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. It says that Enoch pleased God. Does anybody know how he pleased God? Does anybody know how he pleased God? Well, it tells us in the next verse. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, how did he please God then? By faith. He pleased God by faith, because without faith it is impossible to please God. But Enoch's testimony was he pleased God. So we know that he had what? Faith. Faith with a corresponding action. Faith that enabled him to walk with God. And he walked with God until there was a day where God just took him home. Amen. Look with me here in verse 8. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing where he went. It says, by faith Abraham. How do we know Abraham had faith? How do we know he had faith? Because the scripture says he went out. You know where he went out to? He didn't even know. He said he didn't even know where he was going. You know two things we learn about Abraham just from this verse. Firstly, he believed that God is, didn't he? Because he had a promise of God. And God sent him out looking for a place where God said to him, I'm giving you your own place. I'm giving you your own land. It's going to become your inheritance. And Abraham said, where is it? He says, keep walking. You just keep walking, and when you get there, I'll tell you. How long is it going to take? I'll let you know when you get there. When will I get there? When you get there. All right, I'm going. And so he went by faith. Because firstly, he believed that God is. But you know what else he believed? He believed that God is a rewarder of those who seek him, because God promised him a place, and he believed that the place existed, because if he didn't believe it existed, he wouldn't have went looking for it. And you see, we have the promises of God, where God promises blessing, he promises provision, he promises healing, he promises anointings and gifts and power, and God has given us his promises. But how we know that we have faith is when we seek them. Because Abram believed, and Abram didn't have a Bible either. Abraham was a moon worshipper from Ur of the Chaldees. And God spoke to him one day and told him to go out to a place that he would later receive for an inheritance. And Abraham said, okay, I'm off. I'm away. Because he believed. And so he went. And you see, he didn't even have a Bible. But we have a Bible. We have the promises of God. Not alone do we have the promises, but he also told us that all the promises are yes and amen. And yet, we don't hold on to them. We don't seek them. We don't go after them until we see the manifestation of them. And Abraham set out on a journey to go to a land that he didn't even know where it was, but you know what? He believed. The Bible says he went by faith because he believed that God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And so he kept looking for it, and he kept looking for it, and he kept looking for it, and he didn't back down, and he didn't quit until he got there. And you see, we have the promises of God, and sometimes we become so passive in our faith that, you know, we say, well, I know the Bible says that, but. Or maybe we pray for a day or for a week or for a month, and then we give up and say, well, I give up. You know, Enoch walked with God for 300 years before he was translated. Abraham went out, and it took him probably, I don't know, 40 or 50 years before he ended up in the place of provision, the place that God gave him. But you know, he left. And he didn't back off it because he believed that God is. He believed that God was a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God says, I'm going to show you a place. Then the place must be there, mustn't it? If God says, I'm going to show it to you, it must be there. And if God says there's blessing for us, it must be there. If God says there's healing for us, it must be there. If God says there's provision for us, it must be there. If God says that the gifts and the callings and the anointings are for us, it must be there. They must be there. But here's the key. Are we going to seek them until we find them? Or are we going to give up? Too many people give up and stop trying because it can be tiring. I feel tired today. I'm not going to believe God. Flesh is weary. I'm going to take a day off from believing God. Many of you ever done that? Don't put your hand up. But you have to make up your mind that when God shows you something, you're going to pursue it with all your heart until you find it. You're going to keep on seeking it until you find it. You're not going to give up until you have it. Let me ask you firstly then, how do you begin in faith? How do you begin in faith? And it says over in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. In other words, you have to be continually hearing the word of God. And you have to be continually hearing the word of God with the attitude of hearing the word of God. I'm not talking about hearing with these ears, these ones. I'm talking about hearing it in here. Hearing and hearing the word of God. Now let me just say this to you. Faith doesn't come by having heard the word of God. See, people think, you know, well, I heard that one time. No, it doesn't say faith comes by having heard the word of God. It actually says faith comes by hearing and hearing. In other words, a continual hearing, continually hearing, continually hearing. And that's why, you know, sometimes when we're, you know, or we're preaching or we're going through some stuff, you know, maybe you repeat a message. And it's good to repeat a message. Do you know why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing. And sometimes you preach a message and it's a good message and we need to hear it again. And we need to hear it again. And we need to hear it again. Because we need to get it down on the inside of us. And you know what happens sometimes is you preach a message and maybe you preached it 2 years ago and you go and preach it again. And straight away when you go on to preach it again, people say, I heard that before. No, but listen to it again. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And you know what I used to do? How I got started in faith years ago was I used to work in this factory, and it was very loud, it was very noisy, and we used to have to wear those big ear defenders, and you couldn't hear anything, just noise the whole night. And so what I did was I got myself a little Walkman. It's things of the past, you don't get them anymore, we're all on the iPods now. I had this Walkman with this tape, and I used to get these tapes, and I would get a tape. And I would put it into my tape machine and put the earphones under my defenders, put the defenders over them. And I would listen to that one tape for the full 8 hours. It's over and over and over. Just put it on repeat, over and over and over, for 8 hours. And within I worked in that factory for 6 years. And I listened to thousands of tapes, thousands of them. Just over and over and over and over, just getting the word on the inside of you, getting the word on the inside of you. And let me just say this too about getting the word on the inside of you. Sometimes there's different things that we don't want to listen to per se. But you don't know when there's a time coming in your future where you'll need them. And I've shared this with you many, many times. And I know I've shared this with you. There was a fella called Melvin, and we used to swap tapes all the time. And there was a day I said to Melvin, have you got any tapes on healing? And Melvin says, why, are you sick? And I said, no, I'm not sick. He said, what do you want tapes on healing for? And I said, the reason I want tapes on healing was so that if I ever get sick, I'll already know the answer. You understand? I already know the answer. I don't want to get to a place where you get sick and where you're believing God for your life, maybe, and you're going, where did I leave my Bible? I need to go and look for some stuff. You understand? You take the word of God, and all the word of God is important. And so you take the word of God and you get it down on the inside of you. And you don't know where down the line you'll find yourself in a situation. You'll find yourself with something going on and you'll have a revelation of something. Say, I know what that is. I know exactly how to deal with that. I've got a scripture for that. And that's when faith begins to rise on the inside of you. Get the word down on the inside of you. So what you need to do is you need to be listening to the word. And listening to the word. And listening to the word. And then there's people then, and they're always looking for guidance from God. Looking for God to steer them in the right direction. Which way should I go, God? But you know what the easiest way to steer something is? There has to be forward motion. Like if you get a car, if you get in the car, and you can sit in that car all night, and you can sit and do that all night, and you know what will happen? Nothing. Well, your arms will get tired. But you won't get any direction, will you? Do you know what you've got to do? You've got to put the car in gear. Put a little bit of pressure on the accelerator. And then you're off. And God's well able to guide you. And you can't steer a parked car, can you? See, if the car is parked, you can't steer. You can turn that steering wheel all night and it'll not go anywhere. And that's the reason why faith must have a corresponding action. Because when we look back at every one of these people, what they did was they took a step in faith. And when they took that step in faith, God was able to guide them in the way he wanted them to go. He was able to show them what he wanted them to do. And Abraham went out not knowing where he was going, but you know where he ended up? Where God told him to be. The children of Israel were caught between the devil and the deep red sea, but you know what? When they took that step of faith, when they put their foot in the water, God opened the whole way to them, and he steered them in the right direction, and he brought them over into the wilderness and into the promised land. If you want to be steered, you've got to be forward motion. You've got to be moving. Faith must have a corresponding action. Amen. Let me ask you a question then. How do you know if you have faith? How do you know if you have faith? Does anybody know how you know if you have faith? Well, the first way you know you have faith is, are you seeking after the promises of God? That's how you know you have faith. Because if you believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder, do you know what you're going to do? You're going to seek for the rewards, aren't you? So how you know whether somebody has faith or not, are they seeking the promises? Are they stepping into the promises? Are they reading the promises? And trying to get the promises of God to come to pass in their life? If you're seeking for the promises, then you have faith. But if you keep on seeking and never back down, then we know that you have faith and patience. And over in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, it says faith and patience inherits the promises. Look over with me there in Hebrews chapter 6. It says faith and patience inherits the promises. Hebrews chapter 6. And verse 12. It says that you be not slothful. Be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And basically what he's saying here is faith and patience inherits the promise. But he says God has given us his word. He could swear by nobody greater, and so he swore by himself. He promised us in his word, and the words of God will surely come to pass. You know, God's words will not fail. God says that he has sent his word, and they will always achieve the purpose for which he sent them. And if God says they will always achieve the purpose for which he sent them, then we need to access them by faith. We need to stand on them and say, you know what, God, I'm not moving off them. Final passage of scripture. Look with me in 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. This is the story of Elijah. And you know that there had been a famine in the land for 3.5 years. There had been no rain for 3.5 years because the people had turned aside and had begun to worship false gods, the Baals and the Asherahs. And the scripture actually tells us in the book of Deuteronomy that if the people turn aside, God says the heavens will be like brass over your head. And this is a type of it here. There had been no rain for 3.5 years. But God gave a word to Elijah here in verse 18. Or chapter 18 and verse 1 rather. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Now I want you to notice that last phrase. What did God say? He said, I'm going to send rain on the earth. Now remember, it hadn't rained for 3.5 years. So what was the likelihood that it was going to rain? It wasn't that likely, was it? It hadn't rained for 3.5 years. Why was it going to rain now? You know, when God told Noah to go and build an ark, the flood of Noah was something like 1,653 years after Adam. And it had never, ever, ever rained before. Never. It had never rained before. The Bible says that in the morning a dew came down and watered the grass. Never rained. And God told Noah to go and build a boat because he said it's going to rain. And I'm sure Noah said, what's rain? But you know what he did? He went and did it. Didn't look like it was going to rain. He told Noah to build a boat when Noah was 480 years old. The flood came when Noah was 600. That was 120 years later. But you know, during those 120 years, Noah believed God and he prepared an ark. He did it by faith. He had never seen rain before. It had never rained before, but he believed God. And for 120 years, he did the will of God. He did the word of God. He acted on his faith. And when he was finished, the floods came. And Noah saved his family by faith. And so here's this Elijah. And God told him here he was sending rain. Then after this, we have the showdown on Mount Carmel, and we're not going to talk about that, where Elijah went up with the prophets of Baal and so on and so on, and he had the prophets of Baal killed. But look down with me in verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." He said to Elijah, Elijah said to Ahab rather, "Get up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." Well, where did he hear the sound of abundance of rain? He heard it when God told him, he said, "I'm going to send the rain." And it went to Ahab in faith. Had it rained for 3.5 years? Did it look like it was going to rain? But yet, based on the word of God, he went up to Ahab and he said to Ahab, "Get up, it's going to rain. The rain's coming. The rain's coming. The rain's on the way." Now, I suppose, in fairness to Ahab, Ahab had just seen Elijah calling fire down from heaven. So I'm sure when Elijah said it's going to rain, he goes, "I better believe this fella. Just called fire down out of heaven." All right? So, verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. This is a bit strange, isn't it? He tells Ahab to get up and to eat and drink, and Ahab went and he ate and he drank. But you know where Elijah went? He went up on the Mount Carmel. And the scripture says he got on his knees and he put his head between his knees. Why did he get on his knees? Why did he put his head between his knees? Does anybody know? Because he was seeking God. See, just because you have a promise doesn't mean now is the time to give up. When you have the promise, now is the time to seek God. When you have the promise, now is the time to pursue it. You don't give up until you see the manifestation. And that's where the biggest problem that people make. They think once they get a promise from God, that's it. That's me done now. No, that's the time to seek God. And so Elijah gets up on Mount Carmel and he puts his head between his knees and he begins to seek God. You know, there's no reason in the natural to think it was about to rain. The Bible says there wasn't a cloud in the sky. Look at verse 43. And he said to his servant, "Go up now, look towards the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again 7 times. So he said to his servant, "Go up on the mountain and look out towards the sea. Tell me what you see." He said, "Don't see a thing. Not a cloud in the sky. Beautiful day." And he kept telling him to go back. "Go back 7 times. In other words, keep going back until you see it. And you see, Elijah stayed before God. He stayed seeking God. He had the promise. But you know what? He didn't give up until he seen the manifestation of it. Let me ask you a question. He said to his servant, "Go up again 7 times. What would have happened if the servant went up 4 times? What would have happened? Nothing. There would have been no manifestation. There would have been no rain. Because when God gives you the promise, you've got to seek him until, you've got to pursue him until you see the manifestation of it. And this is the problem. Faith and patience inherits the promise. Faith and patience inherits the promise. And so he's seeking God. Elijah knew what God said, but you know what? He wasn't backing off until he's seen it. When God tells you something is coming, what do? You've got to seek for it. You've got to pursue it. There's no clouds, but he told him to keep going 7 times. Look with me in verse 44. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, 'Go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not.'" And you know what happened here was he sent him up the 7th time. And when he came back the 7th time, he said, "I see a cloud. It's just the size of a man's hand." He said, "That's it. That's the manifestation. That's what we've been waiting for." Do you know why? Because there hadn't even been a cloud the size of a man's hand for 3.5 years. And when he began to see it in the spirit, he said, that's it, that's the manifestation. That's what we're waiting for. But you know what he did? He spoke again in faith. Little tiny cloud the size of a man's hand. He says, go and tell Ahab to get down as quick as you can. He says, before the rains come. And I'm sure even with Ahab, when he looked up and seen that little cloud the size of a man's hand, he's thinking, no, I'm not sure. But he says, you need to get down before the rain stop you. Now, look at what happens in the next verse. Verse 45. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. See, he had a word from God. Hadn't rained for 3.5 years. Didn't look like it was going to rain. Didn't look like anything in the natural was going to change. But when he got the word from God, he began to seek God. He began to pursue God. He got on his knees and prayed for the manifestation. Father, I know that you promised me. And Father, I'm not backing off until I see the manifestation. And he didn't back off. And he kept going continually, not backing off until he seen the manifestation. Did he get the manifestation? Yes, he did. Do you know why he did? Because every word of God is true. And you see, we have the promises of God. But we've got to do things by faith. We've got to firstly find the word of God that relates to our situation. What is it that you're believing God for? Are you believing God for finances? Are you believing God for healing? Are you believing God for blessing? Are you believing God for a gift, for a ministry gift, for a spiritual gift? What is it that you're believing God for? First thing is you've got to find it in the word of God. See the promise of it in the Word of God, because God promises us all these things. And when you see them in the Word of God, what you've got to do then is you've got to lay hold of them. Begin to seek God and say, Father, you said this is available to me. You said this belongs to me, and I'm not backing off until I see it. And I'm going to seek you with all my heart until I see the manifestation of it. And you see, we see all these different people. It says, by faith, Abel. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. By faith, Noah. By faith, Joshua. And it goes through the whole gamut of people. But every single one of them believed God. When God told them, when God spoke something to them, they believed God and they didn't back off until they seen the manifestation. So we've got to ask ourselves, what are we going to do in our generation? Is our faith just a passive faith? Just a que sera, sera, whatever happens, happens. Just blown and tossed by every wind that blows along. Is our faith like that demon faith? Faith that does nothing, is worth nothing? Or do we have living, active faith where we stand on the word of God and say, Father, your promises are true. And whatever you said in your word, Father, I'm not backing off them. And I'm going to seek you until I find you. I'm going to seek you until I see the manifestation of what it is that you've promised me. Because when we do that, that's living faith. That's faith in action. That's faith with a corresponding action. That's faith that gets results. Amen. And that's what we need to be believing for. We need to be believing God for results. But it's only faith and patience that inherits the promise. When we have faith, we've got to hold on to it patiently. We've got to seek God diligently until we see the manifestation. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand to our feet and we'll close.